So here we are again. Farewell, the sequel. I guess it makes sense. I mean, how many times have Jason or Freddy died? We should be allowed at least two deaths. We've earned it. I've had fun doing this segment. I wasn't exactly sure what it would turn out to be when we started. My first actual HauntCast segment in show number one was actually a news story about Skull and Bone gifting his famous haunting of Miss Rose Haunt to another haunter. It was actually in HauntCast episode 2 that the first Theater of the Mind appeared. When Chris and I were hashing out ideas for regular segments, I originally was thinking of doing a prop segment, because I've done several props for pro haunts and a couple of indie films, and I'm the prop master for regional sci-fi cons Masquerade. But since I don't have a haunt of my own, I don't do it every year, and I didn't feel very qualified. And besides, I couldn't wrap my head around a good way to do how-to stuff on props, which are a visual medium, in an audio-only podcast. I knew whatever I did would have to be about things that could be presented conceptually. My inspiration was the Atmosphere sub-forum on Haunt Forum. I told Chris it would be about things like theme and setting moods and atmosphere, and his reply was, just make it at least 6 minutes long and don't suck. I wasn't sure if the segment would stand alone as a regular showpiece, so the plan was to just use it as filler material if we couldn't get enough regular segments to fill out a full-hour show. But response was favorable, and I'm happy to say that I've managed to rub one out every, crank out a segment every show. Some were admittedly better than others, a few totally blew. They seemed okay when I submitted them, and then I listened to them when the show came out, and I cringed, wishing I could redo them. For example, a piece I did on mind control as a thematic element suffered from a really bad hack job edit in the 11th hour. The segment was so sloppily cut and pasted that it was barely coherent. Another one, the cannibalism show, was done when I was sick as a dog with the flu and burning up from fever. More than half the ideas I'd had didn't make it into the segment, and the whole emphasis was totally off the mark. But, hey, I was sick. I call mulligan on that one. At least I recorded something. A couple segs, like the one where I compared haunting to a bullwhip, got several positive responses, which really surprised me, because the idea was something totally out of left field that I came up with on Sunday night when I still couldn't think of a topic. I thought I'd screwed the pooch with the Uncanny Valley one, but I got several good reactions to that as well, also a surprise. One that a lot of people really seemed to find helpful was the Business 101 approach to planning a haunt, with the ABC tracks for the best case, realistic, and worst case completion scenarios. Another popular one was the Don't Be a Dick segment from the first Halloween show, where I described several haunter personality archetypes. That's probably the one I'm most proud of. I was really happy with it. I'm also really happy with the nature one from season 1, and the one on weather. A pro haunter actually requested a transcript of that one to pull a clip from to use in his press release pack. That blew my mind. I'm nobody, I don't even run a haunt, and here a well-known and highly respected pro haunter wanted to quote me. Bizarre. As I've stated before, I'm no expert and I don't claim to be. I'm a typical geek that likes to overanalyze things, and the target of my particular fanboy crush happens to be Halloween and especially haunting. My goal for the show was to basically do a haunt version of Charles Osgood's The Osgood Files, a quick little audio magazine article about various haunt-related things that interest me, and I'm proud to have made it a graciously received part of the show since the beginning. I thank all of you for your topic suggestions and kind words over the years. There's a few topics I'd intended to do eventually but never got around to. The H.P. Lovecraft one never materialized, for example. But I'll hang on to the notes I jotted. While we're definitely laying the show to rest for good this time, I don't think it's out of the question that an isolated post-mortem reunion episode might pop up at some random time in the future. Personally, I can't imagine Captain Obnoxious behind the mixing board there being able to go for a full year without drawing attention to himself, so we'll see. We're all haunters in one form or another, but we're also adults living in the real world. We can't always do a haunt every year. Life does get in the way, unfortunately. And sometimes we have to shelf the haunter lifestyle indefinitely when life takes a hard turn. But for as long as they can pull it off, haunters are a driven bunch. I leave with a few random thoughts on haunting, and on haunters and what I see as their desire to perpetually hone and develop their craft. As the years go on, the professional haunt industry continues to upgrade as technological innovations make effects more spectacular and realistic. But those come at a cost. Home haunters in smaller or newer professional haunts are more heavily impacted by the expense of cutting-edge props and effects, and they're forced to make their own innovations and additional detailing, putting in time, manpower, and brainpower. Remember the golden triangle of quality, time, and cost. If you want it to come out good, you either need to sink a lot of money into it or put a lot of work into it. If you don't have a money hose and you want to make it better, you just have to work it harder. And every time we do it, we want to do even better. Always develop, always improve. Like a shark that stops swimming, when projects stop moving forward, they start to die, and not the fun, creepy sort of death that we love to emulate in our haunts. Without mixing things up and improving, we start to lose the interest of our audiences. People stop showing up when they stop caring, and they stop caring when they start seeing the same thing year after year. Granted, people listen to the same songs or watch the same movie or TV reruns time after time while at home, but would they do it if they had to actually make the effort of going to the theater every time? After a while, it seems like it's just not worth it for them, and the sense of satisfaction for the artist just isn't there when accomplishments don't outdo previous ones. There's an inner drive to make it better every time, and fortunately, experience can give us that ability. Of course, it seems like there's never enough time to get it all done. At Showtime, there's always something unfinished, carefully positioned just so in the background, or missing from the scene entirely because we ran out of time or money. But time is always the enemy. If we work a regular job and haunt our home, there's just not enough weekends to get work done on the haunt stuff. If we haunt professionally, unless we're one of the lucky few who own the facility it's in, we have a finite time on the lease to get everything set up. And deadlines must be met. And so we try to make better use of our time. The more we can get done in a short period of time, the better off we are during crunch time before opening night. Once again, experience helps. As we become better, more seasoned haunters, we learn the little tricks that eliminate wasted actions and speed up results, allowing us to not only make it better, but do it faster. From year to year, that's a challenge, but it's a challenge well met. When we don't challenge ourselves to outdo ourselves in any way from year to year, we don't just bore repeat audiences. Our own artistry suffers as well. Creativity is like a muscle. It will atrophy and weaken when we don't use it. And we strengthen ourselves only through challenging ourselves to improve. And that's a good thing, because just having that artistic side strengthens us as people overall. Life becomes colorless for those who consume and never create. And by offering the fruits of our creative labor to one and all, we strengthen our own bonds with others. We make new friends and business contacts through the people working and building the haunt. And we stay in touch with the neighbors by opening our yards and stage sets to them every year. As observed by Halloween historian Leslie Bannatyne, Halloween is the one holiday celebrated every year without a nationalist or religious theme, and it's not so much a time for the family to get together, it's a time for the neighborhood to get together. Haunting is most successful when it makes us stronger, not only as creative individuals, but as communities as well. And at a time when wireless technology and omnipresent e-things and i-things drive people deeper into isolation, anything that brings people together to scream and laugh together is something that needs to be strengthened and celebrated. Entire rooms full of people, hell, people on dates, are more and more often seen sitting quietly with their faces buried in a 4-inch screen, gratified with the illusion of connectedness while ignoring the very people they're sitting with. More than ever, people need to build and create things, real things in real time and space, places in the real world to draw people together. Interacting with a real-life crowd of 10 people beats 100 in a chat room, and a 3-minute walk through a graveyard and mad lab makes more impression than an hour on the Xbox. Now, more than ever, artists need to focus on building real-life experiences that human beings can share face-to-face, and we are those artists. We may be creating fantasy and unreality, but we're doing it live, physically, and drawing people together to experience it. The community may see us as freaks and geeks, but they just don't realize how valuable we really are to them. And so we continue in our madness, this weird mental illness that compels us to create worlds that don't exist in order to threaten victims who are there by choice, with horrible threats that don't actually threaten them. Some of us do it professionally, reaping an obscenely low return on investment, a small fraction of what we could be making in a mundane business. Others among us do it at home, sinking ridiculous amounts of effort and personal funds into a project that pays nothing in return, just for the thrill of entertaining and scaring people. And some of us do it for charity, opting to collect donations from our entertained audiences instead of just donating directly because somehow we feel that charity works best when everyone voluntarily kicks in something and contributes. Hour after hour, season after season, we work on our props and sets and costumes for reasons that non-haunters often find puzzling if not completely insane. And we never seem to get it all done. We didn't get in all the detailing we wanted. Not enough lighting, too few tombstones, but the show goes on. And we'll get that stuff done for next year because next year, it'll be better. Because we need to. And because, whether anyone else understands or not, what we do matters. Even when situations force you to sideline the haunt for a while, never let go of Halloween entirely. Once you're a haunter, it's in your blood. You're a haunter for life, and maybe even after that. Always have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously, but always appreciate it. And to whatever extent you're able, do what you can to keep Halloween alive. And always keep the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you, loyal and beloved listener, have been listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.